John 5 again. It's my turn, Walter. Well, because of what happened last week, and if you don't know what happened last week, you can listen to it online or get a CD. I have this to say about what Walter said last week. Ditto. I got nothing wrong with what he said. I approve wholeheartedly of everything he said. And I'm going to throw a little bit more on it. Because he did kind of speak about some things I was going to speak about. Well, that the Father raises up the dead and quickens them. I had Ezekiel 37 written down here. And then the Son quickens whom he will. And I had Lazarus written down here. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's the truth of God. And it's not hard to say the same things over and over again, because this is the only gospel there is. Right. It's not hard to speak about the same things even without planning them. Now, we normally don't plan them, and that certainly was a lot closer last week than we had been. But it's not hard to say the same things about Christ, because if you're preaching the same Christ, you're preaching the same Christ. You're preaching the Christ of the Bible. You're preaching the God who elects, who gives his people to his Son, and you're talking about the one who redeemed them. And it's in here from cover to cover.
Yes.
But anyhow, I don't have to say anything about Ezekiel or Lazarus. But I did want to say a couple of things about the voice, which Walter spoke about last week also. Because here, my basic text is, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And then he tells us what the Father does and what he does. He explains it right here in this chapter. You don't have to guess at it. And he's talking to what? The scribes and the Pharisees. The religious leaders of their day. And they hated it. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to persecute him. That's the way religious leaders are. It's no different today. But when Christ said, as the Father has life in himself, this is verse 26 of chapter 5, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now he had just said before this, in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He has laid a juxtaposition here. This is two separate things. But it is only one voice. When he says first in verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, he's talking about us walking around. That's what he's talking about. Now, when he talks about those that are, what, they're in the graves. And that's literally dead. No physical life. I didn't say no spiritual life, because he does talk about that. But there is that difference between these two, but the same voice is used. And it is the voice of the Son. Because it has been given to him of the Father. And it is that voice. And this same voice, they will hear his voice. And the first one, Walter covered it very well. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. Because the Son quickens whom he will. And that was right, Walter, I agree, where you said that, talking about the judgment there. He hath given him, the Father hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. That's talking about the judgment to life. That's what it's talking about. It's right after that, but it is before the other part where he goes to the different subject. And it is speaking of the fact that where the Father, all of those that were chosen from the beginning were given to the Son. And all of those that were given to the Son shall be made alive by his voice. It's not by my voice. I agree with that wholeheartedly also. It's not by the voice of any gospel preacher. It's by the voice of Jesus Christ himself. This voice, I wrote down three things about this voice, and I think I added a fourth on the next page. But this is the voice of Christ Jesus, and it's not the voice of a man.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. That's what Christ was talking about. Not even gospel preachers.
Right.
Not any man.
Right.
It's the voice of God through Christ. This is the voice, the second thing, this is the voice that will be heard, shall be heard, and it must be heard. And the third thing I wrote down is this is the voice that has results. Results. Every time. My word shall not return unto me void. That's the statement from Isaiah. And that's still true here. The word of Christ, this voice that goes out to the dead, that shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This voice has results. And I just put down Genesis 1. God said, and it was.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
God said, and it was. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters. Whoop, there was a firmament. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. That's the power of that voice.
Yes, the voice.
That's the same voice. We'll get to that in just a second. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God said, let us make man in our own image. And it was so. It was so. And if you want to, where it says let us, the reason it says that is because the word God there is the word Elohim, which is plural. It is. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Then we look at John 1:1, says in the beginning was Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him.
Yeah.
So whose voice was it?
Christ.
It's Christ. It was our Lord Jesus Christ's voice that created the world.
Yes.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's everything. Just in case you weren't sure about what that all meant. Anything that was made, Christ made it. And the Father has given him the preeminence. It's told in Colossians. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So not only do we have the voice of Christ speaking everything into being, they were made by him, but they are for him. Everything was made for him. Even the wicked for the day of evil. The wrath of man will praise him. Hyper-Calvinism, Walter. Oh my gosh. How can you believe in a sovereign God who's not in control? You can't, because he's not sovereign. You can call him anything you want, and they do. They do. Believe me, they do. But if he's sovereign, he's in control. And if you're not in control of the minutiae, of the small things, you can't control the big things. It doesn't work. All things were made by him and for him. And then it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything is held together by his will.
Yeah.
And, if you want, by his voice. Yeah. It shall not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that for which I sent it. And it does. But I like this, when I looked here in Colossians, because the next verse says, and he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And in him all fullness dwells.
Yes. Amen.
But all things were created by him, Walter, even his church. He just got through explaining anything that was made, he made it. Everything that was made, he made it. And the church is. The church exists. Whether I'm a part of it or not, the church exists. Why? He made it. And how did he make it? With his voice. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Same exact word. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's the same word. And the last thing I wrote down... And other sheep I have, this is John 10 and verse 16, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Same word. And there be one fold, one shepherd. So we have the creation of the world by this voice. We have the creation of everything in this world by this voice. And we have the creation of his people, his church, believers, by the same voice. It's the same voice in the creation of the worlds that speaks to the dead alien sinner, and it speaks to those that are in their graves when that time comes. The same voice. There is only one voice. The next thing, I'm going to let that go. Plus what Walter said last week, ditto again. Because I'm talking about hitherto, the Father worked hitherto and I work. If you would, just turn over to a page there to John chapter 6. And look at verse 26, I believe it is. Yeah. Christ speaking again. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." There are some that follow Christ for what they can get out of it, and for no other reason. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." In verse 28, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." I said this voice has a result. Always. Walter mentioned it last week. The savor of life unto life for some, the savor of death unto death for others. That's even what speaking his word has. But this is the work of God, if you believe him. If he has spoken to you, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, you'll hear and you'll believe. There is a result. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Walter covered that last week. This is what it's talking about. When God gives life, when God makes alive someone, their ears have been circumcised, their heart has been circumcised, their eyes have been opened, and they will see, and they will hear, and they will believe his gospel.
Yes, his gospel.
His gospel. But not until that voice has spoken. I agree again with what he said last week, what we've said before many times, and what we'll say again many times. You eat because you're alive. I like that, Walter, I did. You don't eat to get life. Walter said it last week. I listened to it again yesterday. You can pour water down a corpse's throat. All you're going to get is a wet corpse. It ain't going to give life. Only his voice can give life. But now once that life is there, they will hear and they will not always resist the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying they'll always be agreeable, but they will not always resist the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Father worked hitherto, and I work. His work has results. His voice has results. The dead are made alive without any cooperation of the dead. But all of this, I got a few minutes. All of this came from the beginning of chapter 5, John chapter 5. It was Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. That's where all this came from. The persecution and his explanation came from this incident, this account. Because Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda and he healed a man. And then he left out of that man's sight. The man took up his bed and walked as he was instructed. And of course the Jews said, don't do that. And he told them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And they asked, who is it? And he said, I don't know. Because Jesus had conveyed himself away out of the man's sight. The man looked. He looked. But he didn't see the one that healed him. Then Jesus Christ found him in the temple a little bit later. Which, by the way, is a totally different place from where he was healed. But Jesus found this man and revealed himself to this man, which he had already healed. And he made a declaration to him. He said, behold, thou art made whole. You know what that means? That means he was made whole. Now, I've looked at this and thought about it. I don't, and there is some discussion among people, commentators, others. Preachers. I don't see a definitive statement here or clear testimony of this man's salvation. And there's no statement here saying thy sins are forgiven thee. It's not here. There's no statement declaring this. Where Jesus Christ said, or it said of Jesus Christ, like it did that rich young ruler, he said, and Jesus seeing him and loving him. We don't have a statement like this. And I suspect it's on purpose because of what comes after. Because after Jesus Christ had said this, he said, behold, thou art made whole. But he didn't stop there, Walter. He added one statement. Actually two. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now I read one fella and he said, well, that seems to mean that the infirmity this gentleman had was caused by a certain sin and now he might get another one. But Christ didn't say why the man was there the first place. But it just struck me like that one in John 8 where he told that woman caught in adultery. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Well, this is before that. This instruction that he gave was sin no more. And that's good teaching for all. But the part that hit me hardest was when he said, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Because I thought about this man And if you look at it, so this man had had an infirmity for 38 years. And then you think about it, Christ said there are worse things. He was laid on a bed and he couldn't get up. He was called impotent. He was feeble. He was weak. He was diseased. For 38 years. But Christ said, there are worse things. This man was surrounded by a great multitude of impotent folk. And he was impotent himself. There are worse things. There are consequences for sin. Even if you have been made whole. Jesus Christ said so. He said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus Christ said so. Now I thought about it, and I think I should maybe work up a marketing idea instead of WWJD. We should make up one that says, Jesus Christ said so. You can say JCSS. There are worse things. He said, sin no more. He also said in another place, and this is what comes to my mind, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God. Fear God. There is results of sin. That's a scary thought for me. But after this is when he went into all of this about his work, which is the Father's work. And actually, if you want to go back to John 3, it's the Spirit's work also. Being born from above. They wanted to persecute. They wanted to slay the Lord of the Sabbath for breaking the Sabbath and for saying that he was equal with God. People will want and will hate you for speaking about Christ doing things with his voice. That his voice gives life. Not preachers. That his voice gives life. Not traditions. Not ceremonies. Not events. Not the laying on of hands, Mason. Life comes from God. And from God alone. Without any intervention from man. There are no means to regeneration. There are no means to life except for the voice of Christ. And that's not me. That's him. He gives life. And he gives ears, heart, and eyes. And he reveals himself to his people. And they believe. There is a result. Excuse me. Our Heavenly Father, thankful this time and this place for you. our Lord and Savior. Thank you for all you've done, for your sacrifice, your substitution, your redemption, your resurrection, your acceptance, all to God, on behalf of your people and the life you now give and the faith you give that you made, and for our believing. Thank you, Lord. Amen.